Now, I just have to apologize in advance. I have my 3-year-old with me today. His daycare has been closed because of a COVID case. So
Okay,
he's
that's fine.
spending the week with me, coming in and out to work. So we have play school going in the background. I just have to keep a little bit of an eye on my son, Ned,
That's fine.
who
No issues. Let's start your roots in Footscray. You are a Footscray girl out and out.
I am. I'm actually the sixth generation of my family that has lived in the Inner West. So my great, great, great grandfather came out to Footscray from Ireland. His son went on to be a football player for Footscray,
Right.
and lived in Seddon and had 9 children. So we have a big family that's very proud to be from the Inner West.
You married into a family also from Footscray?
No, I didn't. But I feel like Footscray is a place that draws you in, and it's lovely to live in a community that you have these really rich connections to. You know, that one of the things I absolutely love about my work is that when I travel around the Inner West and go to different community groups or schools or businesses, often I meet people who have had encounters with or know people in my family, and I sort of inherited my love of Footscray from my father, who grew up in
In
Footscray, in
footsteps, so.
Maidstone, actually. Yeah, Maidstone. And it's, you know, it's the center of our universe, isn't it, Ned? Do you want to come and say hello? No, he's a bit shy.
Okay. And your schooling was done on in Footscray as well?
No, so my father was a horticulture lecturer, and before I was born, they made a decision to sell their flat in Footscray
Right.
and buy a place with some land out in the Dandenong Ranges where Dad could do plant propagation and do his horticulture work. So I actually went to school. I went to Callista Primary School, which is in the Dandenongs, and then I went to Upway High School and finished my schooling at Melbourne Girls College in the city. But
All
when I was at Melbourne Girls College, I went back to live with my grandmother in Maidstone because it was much closer, obviously. And yeah, so it we maintained that connection to Footscray. We'd often travel to go to the footy with family at the Western Oval and to see my grandparents. So we were, you know, frequently in Footscray, but yeah, I didn't go to school there.
And your initiation into politics, at what age did you realize that there was a leader somewhere hidden in you that needed to come out?
Well, it was more a commitment to and an interest in social justice that I very much inherited from my mother and father, who were both always union members. And I remember in around, gosh, it would have been about 1997 when I first got involved with the Labor Party. I joined the party when I was 15 because at that time Geoff Kennett was the Premier. He was closing. Oh dear. Okay, I'll be with you in 2 seconds, Ned. My son needs to go to the toilet.
Yeah, it's okay. We
I'll
can
just finish.
pause. We can pause. We can
Okay,
pause.
I'll just finish that answer. So I got involved with the Labor Party at a time when Geoff Kennett was in at the state level and causing a lot of wreaking havoc, really, closing down schools, including Footscray High School. And then Pauline Hanson at the national level had just emerged as a figure in federal politics, and her politics appalled me. So that's why I got involved. Hello, my apologies.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You're very passionate about Footscray. I read your first speech in Parliament where you mentioned Footscray Park. Especially, you have fond memories of your dad proposing to your mom. And that's the reason you have given in that speech. What other bits of Footscray that you were so fond of?
I'm fond of the diversity in Footscray and the fact that it's always changing. You know, that Footscray is always evolving. There's always a new shop opening or a new interesting business or cuisine you can try. There's people from all around the world who call Footscray home, and it's just, and I think I mentioned this in my first speech, it's impossible to be bored in Footscray. There's always an adventure you can have.
Right. When you started out working, do you remember your first day of work?
My first job was in a cafe. So I waitressed all through sort of when I was old enough in high school, and I worked at a famous Melbourne restaurant called The Cuckoo, which is a German sort of themed restaurant in the Dandenong. So I remember my first day, though, it was at a cafe where they didn't treat the staff very well, and I think that was a, that had a real impact on me. They essentially, we would call it wage theft now. They were making people work for free as training.
Right.
But it wasn't training. It was theft and it was exploitation. And I remember my parents sort of saying, this isn't right. And I didn't last very long there, but then I went on to The Cuckoo, which was a great place to work, and I worked there for many years.
Did your parents give you any advice before you went to work on the first day? If yes, well, then what parents, advice was given?
Well, it's to, you know, to do your best, and but they also embedded in me a belief that respect at work between employees and employers is very important. And I think it's a really important thing for our young people to have an understanding of their rights at work, that, you know, that there are minimum wages and award wages, that people have rights. And that was something I think that my parents taught me.
Do you remember the moment you got your first wage in your hand? What was the feeling like?
I do. And it was something, I think it was something very small, like $40. And
yeah, it's $40 is quite something for that age.
For, you know, for a 15-year-old. And I remember what I bought.
What did you buy?
Because I was babysitting as well as waitressing to save up money. I went and bought a Walkman.
Okay.
You know, which was something that every teenager wanted, I think, at that time.
Right. And I also read in that speech, I think you wanted to be a journalist. I wonder why.
I did. I'm very interested in the world around me. I ended up prior to my life in as the member for Footscray, I worked in a number of different communication roles. I think journalism's a fascinating craft. You know, learning people's stories and discovering more information and researching about different issues. It's a wonderful profession, and it's one that we have to keep supporting. We have to keep supporting independent media so that we have diversity.
Right.
It's very important. It's important for democracy.
And you were also very passionate about education, I suppose. I read about you and I heard the speech. I also heard one of the interviews I think you did at Footscray City College with students.
Education is public education. High quality public education is something that changes and transforms lives. And I think every child, no matter what your background is, should be able to enter their local public school, the one that is closest to them, and have the best quality education. It shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't matter where you live. It's the great leveler. You know, it makes every child should have the same opportunity.
What do you think the government should be doing so that the public schools also start performing as good as the private schools, or at least as close?
They already do perform as well as the private schools. I mean, often, you know, I think private schools, you know, look, I will always send my children to public schools. I believe in them, and I'm passionate about public education. I think one of the things we have done as a government to make Victoria the education state is invest billions of dollars into the infrastructure so that the buildings, the bricks and mortar are just as nice at our public schools as they are at private schools, but also into the quality of teacher training. We're going through the process of setting up a teaching excellence
academy. Yes.
And it's, you know, it's a profession that we want to encourage our best and brightest to go into. Particularly in the public sector. So, look, every day of the week, I will tell people how great our local high schools and primary schools are in the inner west. I mean, we've spent something around, since I've been elected, something to the tune of $150 million on local schools, including Footscray High, which, as I mentioned before, Jeff Kennett closed down Footscray High School 20 years ago.
Right.
And it takes a long time to get to a position where you can reopen that school. And we've now got three beautiful campuses of Footscray High, and it's been enormously popular. It's a highly sought after school.
Yeah.
You know, state schools are great schools. We've just got to invest in them and support them.
Do you think education has been affected with the rise of social media? Do you think teachers have had to reinvent the wheel in some cases?
Oh, well, look, I think banning phones in classes was probably not a popular move with students, but it was probably pretty popular with teachers when we did that. So students are no longer allowed to take phones into classes. Look, I think in many ways I'm grateful that social media wasn't around when I was a young person. I think young people have enough to deal with in their day-to-day lives. You know, I feel like social media can be great. It can bring people together. It can, you know, can be a way to share information, but I think it can also be very challenging for young people to navigate it.
Some people say it is actually killing the attention span of young people because they just want to flick through things and they don't want to actually concentrate. Do you think that is actually happening?
Look, I think there's probably, I'm not an expert on it. I was having a discussion with a friend. Oh, come here, mate. Come here. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, mate. This is my son, Ned. Look, I do worry about that, you know, I think even for adults, it can be like any sort of application like that, it can be addictive. I try to spend as little time on social media as possible myself, and certainly with my kids, you know, it's been hard during the pandemic, but you definitely try to minimize screen time.
Right.
So, but also more than attention span, you worry about, you know, their images of themselves and how it's being bombarded with, I suppose, hey, can you go and sit on the couch? And then we'll go and get a bubble milk afterwards, okay? All right, good boy.
Okay.
So yeah, that's I think one of the challenges with social media.
Should there be reservation for women in politics, in medical profession, in teaching profession? Do you think that argument has merit?
Well, we're doing a lot to encourage women in trades, in science, and I suppose fields that have not been, you know, typically dominated by women. So the free TAFE courses that we have offered over the last couple of years have seen a massive increase in women, studying in courses such as construction or, different types of trades that they have not typically been signing up to, which I think is a fantastic thing. And in politics, look, the Labor Party has an affirmative action policy, and it's a good thing because we're acknowledging that actually, traditionally, it's been much harder for women to get into these professions. It's just structurally in society, there it has been male dominated, not because women haven't wanted to get in. And so I think that's a fantastic thing. In the Labor Party, we've got almost perfect gender balance in the Victorian in the government. But when you look at the Liberal Party, they have very few women members of parliament. And that's not reflective of society. They have very few people from diverse backgrounds, and that's not reflective of society either.
Liberal women are not as talented?
I think absolutely we're as talented. And I think that, it's an issue in society that women have not been able to enter these professions. It's because of, structural barriers for women to get into these professions, and affirmative action acknowledges that.